Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life. We've been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm your co-host, Laura Alexander Wittig, co-founder of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small, and our team of experts shows you how to consume and shop responsibly by recommending world-changing products, brands, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the world-changing goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast. Also, to help us spread the word about the podcast, tap on this episode and share Good Together with your friends and family. A simple text message helps us grow and create change around the world. Hey, listeners. First off, I wanted to check in with you. How are you doing? How are your friends and family faring during these uncertain and unprecedented times? COVID-19 is throwing the world into a crisis unlike anything we've ever seen. Lisa and I, plus our loved ones, are fine, but we are now adapting to a rapidly changing environment that's having major impacts on our business and millions of local and small shops around the world. These are uncharted waters for humanity, so we wanted to hop in with a quick bonus episode with an on-the-ground perspective from a voice that Lisa and I sincerely respect. In today's episode, Fast Company journalist Liz Segrin walks Lisa through ways humanity has been responding to our new reality with creativity and compassion. They also get into how we can continue living ethically and mindfully despite being homebound. If you're wondering how you can give back in this time of need, we've got tips for you. And if you're looking to join the conversation with us, Lisa and I just launched a new initiative to support our community. We're doing virtual Changemaker Coffee Chats every Wednesday at 12 p.m. noon Pacific, where we come together to brainstorm creative ways to help others around the world. Bring a cup of coffee or your lunch and join us. To sign up, visit brightly.eco/coffee. And with that, let's get into it.
Hi, Liz. Thank you so much for joining Good Together today. And I know it's such a crazy, uncertain times these days, but I appreciate your time and opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Great. So for our listeners, I just wanted to know that today's just will be me, Lizzie and Liz, and we will be talking about kind of the new reality that we are all getting used to, the reality of COVID-19, the coronavirus around the world, and specifically in the US, of course. We definitely, as usual, want to leave you in the end of episode with actionable, inspiring, uplifting tips and what you can do to kind of take care of yourselves and of others and keep supporting the planet even during these uncertain times. So we always start these episodes with asking our guests to briefly introduce themselves. Just tell us about you, what you're doing, where you are, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, sure. My name is Elizabeth Segrin. I am the author of a book called The Rocket Years, How Your 20s Launched the Rest of Your Life. And I'm also a senior staff writer at a magazine called Fast Company, where I focus on the fashion industry and particularly sustainability in the fashion industry. And actually, you know, it's so interesting. I've spent the last 2 years doing a lot of research for my book about the big decisions that we make in our 20s and how they change the course of our lives. And what's been clear to me, you know, over the last couple of weeks is that, you know, I think for a lot of young people, they're watching all of the events unfold right now. And I think one of their anxieties is that these events may derail or change the course of their future. And so that's something that I've been thinking a lot about and finding ways to discuss these issues with younger people for whom, you know, the events of the last week are, you know, going to change their future.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I just wanted to mention to everyone that, you know, I know we're talking about this very serious situation and talking with Liz about, you know, COVID-19, the coronavirus reality. But I also wanted to make sure that everybody knows what huge fans of you we are at Brightly, of you, all of your writing and reporting, and really looking forward to reading your book as well. We were supposed to record this interview in person and focus more on other things, more fun things than coronavirus situation. We were planning to be in our beautiful Zeus property in LA, but again, we are all adjusting to the new reality. So we'll go with that, and we'll absolutely have Liz again on our podcast to talk about things that are related to sustainable fashion and more fun things. But I wanted to start the conversation, just kind of check in with you. How are you doing? I mean, how are we all doing during this trying and uncertain times? We are basically adapting to this whole new reality and a new way of living. And I know as a journalist, you kind of have a very, I think, a much better understanding than an average person of how we're doing as a society.
What do you think? I think that, you know, the last week has been a very tough one for a lot of people, not just because we're dealing with this pandemic, but because we're processing changes and new information in live time. So I think this last week, a lot of new information came to light. Number one, you know, how big of an issue this is going to be for our country. And then the second issue is, you know, the recession that looks like it's on its way. And then third, you know, there's been growing information about how long we're going to have to be in this state of social distancing. You know, I think even a week ago, I was contemplating whether to travel in March, you know, in April. And clearly, all travel has been canceled for a long time. And not only that, I think most of us are going to be sheltering in our homes for not just a few weeks, but possibly months. And so I think that what's really important for people to think about right now is that, you know, I think we're dealing with two levels of anxiety. You know, on the one hand, there are these enormous cataclysmic historical events that are happening, and we're watching them unfold: a pandemic, a national emergency, a recession. These are all really big things. But I also think that it's important for us to recognize and be okay with the feelings that that we're experiencing right now, that that are just, you know, about the disappointments and, you know, and the personal sadness that we're feeling about things that might be smaller than these bigger events. You know, I think a lot of people are disappointed that you know, their graduation got canceled. I think people are worried about their kids who are not going to get to be educated over the next couple of weeks. Couples are separated from one another. I think it's just really important for us to say, you know, it's okay to feel whatever it is you're feeling right now. And you need to spend some time, you know, dealing, thinking through and, you know, and sort of like coming to terms with your own personal disappointments before you sort of have the capacity to take in the much bigger issues that we're dealing with.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've chatted with you, I think, last Friday, and I was in LA, Laura was in LA. For our listeners, I think you guys know that we are participating in the Yellow Accelerator by Snapchat. It was a huge deal. It's still a huge deal. But on Friday, all of the programming of the accelerator was moved to fully online. And ultimately, me and Laura, we decided that it was definitely a good call for us to pack our stuff and drive back to the Bay Area to our homes and families. And yeah, exactly as you said, Liz, it's we've been kind of living on a day-to-day. Like even during the weekend, there was no shelter in place yet in San Francisco. During the week, there was no shelter in place in mandate in California in general. So we're definitely taking it day by day, but I'm glad that we are society taking this this issue seriously. But yeah, again, I think it's totally care for all of us. I agree with you to kind of process our personal sadness and issues and all of the circumstances and changes we have to accept in our lives, and then start kind of being good citizens and doing the things that are right mm-hmm. for the society. So I'm curious if you, what kind of things you have seen and observed, and how is the coronavirus affecting different population groups? Of course, if you know anything, like obviously we know and we care, and we're so thankful for the healthcare professionals in this country and around the world. But how does it also affect teachers, students, just regular professionals? Have you seen how this kind of situation is affecting different groups of people?
Yeah, I think that what's important right now is that a pandemic like this, a health emergency like this, is throwing into relief the inequities that we're seeing in society. The same is true when it comes to things like global warming and the natural disasters that we were seeing. You know, in times like this, it becomes very clear that people who are already vulnerable and on the margins are the ones who are going to suffer the most. So, you know, a lot of us have been wrestling with and complaining with about the concept of having to be stuck at home for a long time. And I think it's really important to realize that, you know, that is actually a luxury, that we have this luxury to stay at home, protect ourselves, protect our families. Because actually, there are a lot of people out there who are considered either, you know, essential workers, or who have to work out of necessity, who are putting themselves at risk. So, you know, I've been thinking a lot about people, you know, obviously there are people who need to keep our cities running, like, you know, the trash collectors, there's, you know, people who are working on critical infrastructure, as well as obviously the healthcare professionals, you know, that goes without saying. You know, I was working on a story this week about Amazon and how the workers at Amazon are continuing to work under these conditions with up to 2,000 people in each location around the country. And in fact, Amazon is continuing to hire because there's been an increase in the number of orders that they've been receiving. And, you know, that really made me think about how our society operates, because, you know, the United States doesn't have very robust infrastructure and government services the way that other nations do. And so we rely on the private sector, on companies like Amazon to deliver services, right? So there are lots of people right now who are using Amazon to get essential things like medication. You know, I'm sure that there are hospitals and clinics that are getting gloves and hand sanitizer and things like that. And then older people are relying on Amazon and its infrastructure to deliver groceries, right? So that they don't need to put themselves at risk by going to grocery stores. And so what we're actually doing is that, you know, workers who are relatively low paid workers in these factories are effectively putting their own health and well-being at risk so that the rest of us can shelter in place. And, you know, while, you know, there are lots of people in society who are considered essential workers and are fairly compensated for that, you know, these workers are not particularly well paid, and many of them don't get health care. So I think that that just really hit home to me that, you know, like while we're wrestling with the prospect of being stuck at home for weeks, you know, on end, we're actually the lucky ones, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't agree more with you. I mean, there's so many memes and quotes there. It's like, you know, your grandparents were asked to go to the war. You can definitely handle sitting on the couch. So, I mean, it's kind of maybe mean a little bit, but we are definitely not the ones who are having the most difficult times dealing with this. Like, again, as you said, exactly, like taking care of your family and being able to stay at home, having the privilege of having a home, having food delivered to you in many cases, you know, we definitely have to think about them. You know, Amazon and other essential workers who are making it possible for us to stay in the comfort of our homes and take care of our families. I'm not sure, this was not actually on my list of questions to ask you, but I am sure you have heard of that. In terms of the global supply chains of the fashion industry, I've been hearing some news that, you know, big brands are basically cutting down their supply chains and are not creating more fashion pieces because obviously there is a decrease in demand. But ultimately, again, it affects the workers who are losing jobs and losing their stream of income. Have you heard about
that?
Yeah, so,
you know, at the beginning of this, when the crisis was kind of evolving, and it was kind of at work in China, I looked into the supply chains there, and at that point they said that, you know, most supply chains were going to be sort of delayed by a few months, but that things would be up and running again soon. I think that that's going to change as the pandemic spreads everywhere. But I do think that this is an important moment for us to think about, you know, how we're going to respond to what's unfolding in front of us. And it also kind of relates to what I was saying before about how, you know, young people are looking at their futures and seeing how an event like this may totally, you know, disrupt or change their futures. I think actually that there is a really valuable opportunity for all of us right now to think about the way that our economy works and, you know, and the way that products are made and the way that, you know, the global supply chain works. I mean, I this is not to trivialize what's going on or to find a silver lining in what is really, really horrible. But what I would say is that, you know, right now, I think we're learning about what is essential to us, both on a personal level and kind of, you know, at on a global level and you know, in terms of the whole economy. And so what I mean by that is, you know, I think over the last week, we've all been thinking about, you know, what really matters to us, and also like what we really need. You know, we saw a lot of people going to stores to to buy products because they're worried about, you know, the supply, the you know, supply of food and supply of other essential things. And I think that at home, we've shifted from a mindset of excess and having, you know, a lot of products around us to a mindset of rationing and thinking about what is most essential and what we absolutely need and what we don't need. And so I think that that's actually probably a healthier and more eco-friendly mindset. And I think that, you know, there might be some benefit to sort of like thinking through what we're learning about what our own needs are at this point, because eventually this moment of crisis will be over. And, you know, I think there can be lessons for us going forward about, you know, what is really crucial and what is essential in society. I think that also applies to some of these other supply chain issues that we're talking about. I think that we need to really, as a society, value what people like Amazon workers are doing and value their work differently than the way that we value them before. I think in the past, we saw people like Amazon workers as, you know, just kind of, you know, a small part of the economy helping to facilitate e-commerce. But I think we're seeing now what's going to happen when, you know, we don't have very much many other retail options, right? And we're relying on these workers to provide very essential, you know, products to us on a daily basis. And perhaps that should help us rethink, you know, how we value people who do these kinds of jobs. We're looking at like grocery workers, exactly. People who are essential to our, you know, our food supply chain. I mean, I think right now we're seeing that it looks like there's going to be enough food, you know, produced domestically for us to survive for several months, depending on how long this lasts. But I don't think that we've ever been more grateful for the people who make and deliver our food. You know, I think it's all of this is going to force us to sort of really value what is essential here. And obviously, as for the larger, you know, fashion supply chain, I mean, I think, you know, there were a lot of issues with sustainability and excess that I was often writing about before all of this. I think that, you know, unfortunately, at a time like this, you know, it's just forcing us to realize like what is not essential. You know, I think, you know, we're very few people right now are spending our time at home shopping for fashion items, right? And I think that, you know, in the short term, that's kind of a painful proposition for a lot of these companies. But I think longer term, it's going to force them to think about, you know, what kinds of products are really important to make and what kind of, what kind of products are really, you know, necessary, you know, and like creating durable products, creating products that will last longer, creating products that are more sustainable. I think it gives brands an opportunity to think through those kinds of questions.
Exactly. Yeah. And it also makes brands to think about other business models, maybe that, you know, don't have to deal with production of thousands and millions of fashion pieces that will just goes to waste. But I love how you talked about how we are realizing what's essential in our lives, but also we are realizing how important, again, all of this almost like invisible people that we just take for granted. And now in this time of crisis, we are realizing how much they mean for the society. I'm also was thinking when you were talking about that, I was also thinking maybe as we realize this new priorities in our lives and what actually is important, hopefully it will also make us realize that, you know, it's not just Amazon workers here, it's not that people are growing our food, people working in the grocery stores, but it's also people all around the world on the other end of the supply chain that are real people. I think this crisis is also bringing us together as a society. We realize how interconnected we truly are. I can't agree more with you in this type of situation. Definitely gives us food for thought, but brings us together, and hopefully we'll take our lessons very seriously from this. But let's talk about silver linings that you can briefly mentioned I think overall, how we as humanity has been responding to this new reality, I think it's been with a lot of creativity and compassion. And I was particularly inspired by, you know, the ethical brands community and not even the ethical brands community. I've seen on the B2B and business to business side of things, obviously, as you just mentioned, you know, not as many people are shopping. So e-commerce companies are struggling, unfortunately, especially with the financial crisis is looming on us as well. But I've also seen, very surprisingly, obviously, since people are shopping less, e-commerce brands are having to cut down their marketing budgets and things like that. But I've seen marketing agencies and, you know, consultants, business services providers are actually start to offer their services for free. Businesses are coming together in terms of how we can cross promote each other and things like that. And of course, I've also been seeing a lot from my friends on Facebook and other social channels, kind of calls on how we can continue supporting our local and small businesses too. So that has been uplifting for me. What have you seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really tough one because, you know, I write about a lot of direct to consumer brands and a lot of startups. That's kind of, you know, what I've been focused on for a long time. And, you know, I've been obviously very critical of a lot of brands because, you know, of sustainability related issues, but it also sort of breaks my heart to see how so many of them are struggling right now. I think that the silver lining that I would take is kind of, you know, kind of a more bigger picture silver lining. I think that it's quite clear that we are headed towards a pretty major recession. And I think that what I think about is, you know, other historical moments where the economy has taken a really serious hit. And I think about things like, you know, the Great Depression, and then the years after that, things like the Marshall Plan. And I actually think that, you know, this is obviously going to be a very painful process. But I think that if the economy is facing serious challenges, two things are going to emerge from this. I think one is that the people are going to realize how important social safety nets are, and what the role that the government should play in society. And I think that that's ultimately a good thing, because I think that, you know, in American society, there are a lot of people who fall through the cracks because there isn't a good social safety net. And so I think that this is going to help us reframe the role of government. And then also, you know, in previous economic crises, the government has invested a lot of money in building infrastructure. You know, it was after the Great Depression and, you know, and other, you know, crises like that, that the government started investing a lot in things like building highway systems, you know, building, you know, a lot of infrastructure that we have now. I think that there's an opportunity after this for the government to once again invest in infrastructure, but then perhaps to do it in such a way that we are sort of, you know, doing things that are along the same lines of the Green New Deal, right? Where we can, all the infrastructure investment that happens after a crisis like this, it would be wonderful if it was more focused on, you know, helping to helping the economy to transition into a more sustainable model. So that's kind of the silver lining that I'm seeing. And that's very, very macro level. I also have some thoughts about micro level silver linings, if you're interested.
Of course. Let's talk about the micro level. I love that.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because I've been writing this book for the past couple of years, and I've been thinking a lot about it. And I was thinking about how, you know, I was focused on people in their 20s, but I think that this really applies to people throughout their lives. But I think that, you know, one of the main tensions we have in life is this tension between, on the one hand, you know, making really good decisions and planning for our future, and being very much in control. And I think that is always in tension with this other part of ourselves, right? Which is having this freedom to be free and be impulsive and make mistakes and live in a state of chaos. I think that that is kind of the fundamental tension that 20-somethings experience, but actually, you know, we all experience through life. And I think that, In my book, I try and talk about how there's a way for us to think of these two things as complementary, not as separate. Because basically, I think that moments of chaos and moments of making mistakes or dealing with struggles are really important because they teach us about ourselves and about the world, so that when in the future you have an opportunity to make a decision, you have new information about, what would be the best decision to make at that time, right? Like all the breakups you've ever had are so crucial, provide crucial information for the moment that you decide whether or not to marry someone, right? That's just one example. So I think in a crisis like this, we're communally dealing with this moment of intense chaos. And, it's horrible and it's painful. But I wonder if, one empowering way to think about it is for us to try and harness the chaos a little bit and to think about what we're learning about ourselves and the world right now. And obviously, I'm not making light of any of this, and this is not what I want for anybody, but given that we're here now, what can we learn about ourselves and the world? What is this moment teaching us about what really matters to us, about who really matters to us, about what kind of work really matters to us? And as a society, what can this teach us, as we were talking about before, about what is essential and who is essential and how can we value those things better? I think that that's what we should be doing right now, if only to allow ourselves to feel like this is not a total waste.
No, I love it. And before we go into the next question, we kind of started doing the same thing with Brightly. I think one of the silver linings that we've found and we found online is that people are, okay, we can't meet with each other in real life. Let's figure out how we can hang out and still keep being in touch with each other online. And so one thing we started doing with Brightly this week is having the virtual changemaker coffee chats every Wednesday at noon, and it's at brightly.eco.coffee if you want to check it out. But it's not unscripted, it's not a Brightly chat, it's not about me or Laura personally, it's just kind of a place for us to come together as a community. And we just hosted one 2 days ago, and again there was no topic in place, but I would love to actually discuss the topic that you were just talking right now. It's like, how about what we are learning right now about ourselves, about our society, about the world, and start thinking about that way as an opportunity to grow and learn. I love that. So it just gave me an idea of like what we can talk about it next week. But in general, I think it's a great point that you're making. Definitely, again, gives us food for thought. So as you guys know, one of the main goals of every episode of Good Together, we want to leave you with simple, actionable tips that you can implement in your everyday life to live more sustainably, ethically, and mindful in general. So Liz, I was wondering if we can talk about a little bit of how we can continue living ethically and mindfully, even if we are maybe homebound, even if we are living with this new reality. Do you have any specific
there's a bunch of different things that we can do. I think that the first thing that I would say is to spend a little bit of time thinking about self-care. I think that this is actually very much related to bigger issues of sustainability and ethical living, because I think it's very hard for us to focus on the needs of anybody else when we're frayed and when we're very, very stressed out. And I'm just seeing this all around me. Earlier this week, my husband and I were processing everything that was happening, and we were super stressed out, and it was just leading to a lot of tension. And I think that that's been happening around the country. But we spent a little bit of time, on self-care. For me, I learned how to knit, and I started knitting. He's been doing various things himself to try and shift his mindset. And I think as soon as we were able to do that, we were able to start thinking about the bigger issues and how to help other people, and how to be how to make how to allow, you know, use the resources that we have right now to be helpful to other people. So I would, number one, really advise everybody to spend a little bit of time investing in things that will help take the tension away. That might mean, you know, not reading the news past a certain point in the day. I stop reading at 4 o'clock mm-hmm. every day. And I just, you know, and I'm a journalist. I need to be really plugged into the news. So.
Yeah, I love that. No, that's a great tip. I think it's now more important than ever to really kind of force yourself to not listen to news and maybe social media.
For sure. The second thing is to focus, as we've been talking about, on, you know, taking some time right now to think about, you know, what is really important. You know, we've been talking about this throughout this episode. I think that, you know, as you're going about your day and living your life at home and kind of thinking about what's on your grocery list and what's, you know, what you're focused on, you know, spend a bit of time checking in with, you know, what are the things that you really need and value? Because I think that, you know, eventually we're going to come out of this. And I think it would be really tragic if society just moved back to a state of overconsumption, which I think we would all agree is like a big part of what is the problem, you know, what's led us to this, you know, this unsustainable moment, you know, the environment has been totally destroyed. It's because of overconsumption. And right now we are in a mindset of rationing and of being careful with what we purchase. Let's think about, you know, what we're doing now. And then finally, I think that, you know, it's just really important to think about how we can be supportive to one another, even when we can't see each other or interact with each other in person. You know, it's been really hard, I think, for a lot of us because, you know, human contact is so important. But as you said, you know, we're finding all of these other ways to bridge the gap. And so I think that if there's one thing that this global pandemic has taught us is how we're connected to each other in ways that are just beautiful and profound. And I think, you know, it's worth spending a bit of time kind of celebrating that, but then also seeing how we can help one another. So if that means like, you know, if you happen to be younger and healthier and it's less of a risk for you to go out and grocery shop for someone else, you know, maybe this is an opportunity to connect with neighbors that you haven't, you know, talked to in the past who are a bit older and help them. If you're, you know, you weren't talking to your family members on a daily basis, you know, now is the time to connect with them. If you're, you know, if you and your friends, you know, tended to text each other, you know, intermittently in the past, you know, now's the time to reconnect with them. I think that these are three things that we can do, to, you know, to sort of like get through this time together.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's so important. I think that I kind of briefly mentioned it before, kind of like start with yourself, as you mentioned in the beginning of this episode, this discussion, and then give yourself time to process everything so you yourself are okay. And then let's start thinking about how we can help each other. You're absolutely right. And yeah, so for me, you know, I have some marketing knowledge and sales knowledge, so I have been offering my help. I'm actually having calls on Saturday with other ethical business founders just to see if I can help give them some helpful tips on kind of how to survive during this crisis, especially if you're a brick and mortar store. We've seen in our community, in our Facebook group, it's Good Together, Ethical Shopping and Lifestyle. People are posting that, you know, they're ordering they're still continuing to order food from their favorite local restaurants and they deliver on the doorstep. You know, they take precautions. Laura was just telling me the other day, her and her husband, they actually ordered actual pizza ingredients. I don't think that their local pizza place, as I understand, I don't think they're making food anymore, but they, in order to survive, they're selling, you know, the fresh ingredients that they have. There is also, we've noted on our website, we have a blog post, 5 ways to help the planet while you're homebound. You can support your local businesses through gift cards. There are services like Buy Me a Coffee or Patreon and things like that. And as you mentioned, you know, now this is the time, if you have free time, to learn something new and inspire others. I am really hoping that I can push myself to start reading more books. I love reading physical books. So I'll finally get to read the books that I've been buying over the last few months. I love people sharing recipes, and you know, kind of like we've been sharing with our community a lot of like Meatless Monday recipes. But I've seen people sharing around recipes that maybe require a bit less ingredients than usual, so like very simple ones in case you can't get some fancy ingredients from your stores or online. People coming together, people, you know, now you're, again, as you mentioned, you're realizing what is important in your life, who is important in your life. And it's like, okay, now I really don't have an excuse not to get on a FaceTime with my best friend across the country. Mm-hmm. And things like that. I think this is a good place for us to end. One thing we love asking our brands is a few questions, our guests is a few questions about your favorite ethical brands and products like this. But I want to kind of like reframe it a little bit. And perhaps I'm curious, because again, Liz, we will have you in the future to talk about other more fun things for sure. So I wanted to ask you, have you seen some very inspiring examples of how brands are doing right by their community, by the environment, by the society at large? I know obviously we have been, probably our inboxes are full of the COVID-19 emails, but have you seen any like specifically, especially inspiring examples of brands doing things right, you know, by their community, by their customers, but also by their workers and their internal?
One interesting thing that I saw earlier this week was by a brand called Somersault, which makes eco-friendly swimwear and resort wear. And you know, what they did was they redeployed their customer service team to basically provide emotional support to customers. So they basically asked customers if they wanted to text a special helpline if they, you know, were feeling down or depressed or needed some help. And the brand would send back, you know, something inspiring or something funny or, you know, something to lift their spirits. And part of the reason they felt like able to do this was that they, you know, they have several people on their customer service team who happen to be trained as counselors and mental health experts. So they felt like, you know, if a message came through that suggested that somebody was having a really hard time, they could, you know, they could redirect that person to you know, a nonprofit or a mental health expert that would help them. But I thought that this was really interesting because, you know, I think that over the next couple of weeks and months, there are going to be lots of companies whose employees are not going to be able to perform the functions that they were doing before because of a reduction in demand or because retail stores are closed or, you know, or whatever, right? So if brands can think about how to keep these people employed and redeploy them in such a way that is helpful and encouraging to other people, I think that that's like a win for everybody.
I love this example. It's very unique and you're absolutely right. And it's actually giving me ideas to, you know, obviously every brand has their customer and customer demographic, but I'm thinking about my previous work experience where our audience was a bit older. Sometimes, you know, they're not living with their family, you know, so yeah, a lot of times if grandparents are not in touch, like they're not living in the same city even as their family and grandkids. I'm thinking for brands with especially older demographic who may or may not be able to be in touch with their family. I think these are the groups that really could use the services. And this is such a, this is such an inspiring and a perfect kind of example of a brand truly listening to their customers. And I think it's also very creative in terms of the brands. Again, like, yeah, because a lot of brands are forced to making this very difficult decisions. Like, can you keep all of your hourly or even in general, can you keep all of your employees employed? Not even through March, but again, we are talking about a few months ahead. And this is a very creative way of solving this. And again, providing value to your community and the society at large. I love this example. That's very interesting, Liz. Well, I think this is a great a place for us to stop. I really enjoy this conversation and kind of your outlook on all of this. Again, I think as a journalist, as an author, you have such an interesting perspective on everything, and you can kind of, I think you gave us such a great like macro look and understanding of where we are, what we are doing. For me, it was very, very helpful because, again, I think I don't want to talk for everyone, but for myself, like, I think we're all just like thinking how we're dealing with this individually. But like, yeah, I really appreciate your input in terms of like, okay, let's pause and take a bigger picture look at this and where we can go from here in the future after this crisis is over, and it will absolutely be over.
Sure.
Thank you, Liz.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes. And we'll talk soon, I promise. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast.
And don't forget to join in on the conversation that's happening on our Facebook group. Simply search Good Together Ethical Shopping and it'll come up. You can also leave us a question through voicemail. The link is on brightly.eco/podcast.
If you're into social media, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all of the channels. Our username is brightly.eco.
Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.